The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9. It is on page 117 of the New Testament. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9. Allow me to read the words of God. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." There's a poem titled "One Jeju Bay" by the poet Seok Ju-jang, and it goes like this. "That's not going to blush by itself. A few typhoons in there, a few thunders in there, a few thunderbolts in there. That's not going to be round by itself. A few nights of frost in there, a couple of months of blazing sun in there, a few days of crescent moon in there. Although what is seen to the eye is one jujube, there are many stories embedded in it. Only after a series of sunshine, rains, day and night, it becomes ripe. But that's not enough. If the jujube tree is diseased, or if a pest eats away the flowers and leaves, then the tree will not be able to bear fruit, nor let alone survive. For one jujube to become delicious and ripe, the farmer has to spread fertilizer, trim branches, and prevent pests. The more the farmer tends the tree with his own hands, and the more he waits, he is able to reap even more abundant harvest. Today's scripture also speaks about the inspiring and important waiting, the waiting for life. Let's look at verse 6. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. The owner of the vineyard planted a fig tree, not grape trees. The literal meaning of a fig in Korean means a fruit without flowers. But there's no tree that gives fruit without the flowering phase. The flower of a fig is inside the fruit, so it cannot be seen. So the better expression for the fig is syconium, the fruit with a hidden flower, not a fruit without a flower. In the Middle East, the fig is harvested twice a year. The first fruit, which becomes ripe around March, is called fage. It grows on last year's branches and has less juice and less sweetness. But at that time, it was an important source of food for the poor who had not enough to eat. It was like the hardy plants during the period in the springtime when there was not enough food to eat because last year's harvest had run out and the new season's harvest had not ripened yet. The first fig, fage, fell by June, and the second fig was harvested around August and September, and it was called thena, juicier and sweeter than the first fruit. This fruit was dried and used as digestive medicine or treatment. Like so, the fig tree could be used for many purposes in the old days. The master of the vineyard would have planted a fig tree to reap more fruits. However, the fig tree in the scripture failed to produce any fruit. So the master of the vineyard said to the man who took care of the vineyard, in verse 7, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should I use up the soil?" For 3 years, the master waited to harvest the fruit. But every year, there was none to harvest. But that did not mean it had been 3 years since the tree had been planted. In general, the fig tree seedling took about 3 to 4 years to bear fruit. But Leviticus chapter 19, verses 23 to 25 testifies as the following. "When you enter the land and plant any kind of fruit tree, regard its fruit as forbidden. For 3 years, you are to consider it forbidden. It must not be eaten. In the fourth year, all its fruit will be holy, an offering of praise to the Lord. But in the fifth year, you may eat its fruit. In this way, your harvest will be increased. I am the Lord your God." God told the Israelites that when they enter Canaan and plant any fruit tree, the first 3 years were to be considered to be forbidden, and fruits were not to be eaten. And all the fruit harvested in the fourth year was to be offered to God in entirety. The reason was to remind them that everything comes from God, even if they put their effort for harvest. Similar to God's command that the first animal offspring was to be sacrificed for God. Starting from the fifth year, farmers could take the fruit from the harvest. 1400 years since then, rabbis delivered the same words whenever something new was planted, including the fruit tree, by applying the same words whenever planting season began. Thus, the fruit from a fruit tree in the first 3 years were taught to be forbidden, and the fruit in the fourth year was set apart for God to acknowledge that the master of everything is God. However, so the fig tree planted in the scripture would have lasted about 3 years without the harvest being taken, and the fourth year the harvest should have been given to God. But even though it had been 9 to 10 years since this tree had been planted, this tree was still not producing fruit for the master. From the master's perspective, the tree was a nuisance. He had kindly planted the tree in his vineyard. Despite the numerous years waited to harvest, the tree had not produced any fruit. And now it was just taking space. That wasn't all. The tree absorbed the nutrients and moisture from the soil, and so it became a barrier for other trees from growing healthier and bearing more fruit. Moreover, it also wasted the labor of the vineyard guard. He would have put fertilizer and pruned the fig tree as he did for other trees. All in all, it was a useless tree. So the master decided to get rid of the tree. So we may think, if we do not bear fruit like this fig tree, then we will receive punishment or die. But the vineyard guard pleaded to the master as the following. Verses 8 and 9. Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. The vineyard guard pleaded, Master, it is easy to cut it down, so it can be done later. I will dig around it and fertilize it. Please wait one more year. If it doesn't produce fruit even then, I agree to cutting it down. The main point of Jesus' analogy is neither death nor ruin, but rather life and fruition. So this analogy could be considered to be the analogy of second chances, the analogy of prolonged life. A story similar to today's scripture appears in Exodus chapter 32. In obedience to God's command, Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments and waited for 40 days, neither eating nor drinking. At the time, Moses' brother Aaron had been taking care of the Israelites on behalf of Moses. The Israelites thought Moses would come down in 2 or 3 days. But Moses didn't come down even after 1 or 2 weeks. Moses didn't come even after 1 month. So Israelites convinced Aaron to make an idol to worship. In unity, Israelites brought woman's gold earrings and made an idol cast in the shape of a calf, because the calf was epitome of idols that Israelites worshipped. Once the idol of calf was finished, the Israelites declared, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." Then they decided the next day as a day of festival and ate, drank, and played. To God, there's nothing more frustrating than humans limiting God within their thoughts. Then God told Moses, "My people are corrupt. They have strayed away from the path I have commanded to them, and even made an idol of calf, and have said that the idol led them out of Egypt." And said that God wants to destroy them all and restart with Moses. Moses did not reply, "Yes, God, please do so immediately." He earnestly prayed, "God, please remember your promise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Didn't you say that you will make their descendants to be as numerous as stars in the sky and give them the promised land?" And so Moses came down the mountain with the Ten Commandments. After he observed the situation, Moses realized how serious their sin was. Moses asked Aaron, What happened for people to behave like this? Aaron faked innocence and answered, People broke gold, and so when it was thrown into the fire, the calf came out. His answer was nonsensical. It was like the burglar saying, I did not mean to steal anything. I just picked up some string on the street and took it home, without knowing that there was a cow tied to the string. Moses went up to the mountain and prayed to God. This prayer is one of the most beautiful prayers in the Bible. Exodus chapter 32, verses 30 to 32 testifies as the following. The next day, Moses said to the people, You have committed a great sin. But now, I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. So Moses went back to the Lord and said, Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now, please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. This prayer of Moses saved sinful Israelites. Moses is like the vineyard guard in today's scripture. Just as Moses prayed to God to save Israelites, the vineyard guard prayed to God to save the fig tree. Mature faith is proportional to obedience to God. So there cannot be faith apart from the Word of God. No matter whether a person experiences an amazing miracle or a mysterious experience that no one had gone through, it cannot be compared to one Bible verse. During my time as a pastor, I have not seen a person who did not mature in faith among people who respected the Word of God. On the contrary, a person cannot mature in faith without respecting the Word of God. I have seen several people who turn away from God, exhausted from their own passion and ignorance of God's Word. So faith and the Word cannot be separated from each other. Moreover, faith is the obedience to the situation granted by God. If one does not truly accept the physical condition, family members, steps in life, education, etc., and act upon those circumstances as the plot given to him or her to start, faith cannot mature. But there's one point to be aware. We may obey in whatever circumstance, but it does not signify resignation. It is improper to think, God will know better, right? God will take care of it. It's futile to spend our efforts since God will do whatever He wants. What we have to pay attention to in today's scripture is that while the vineyard guard's plea for the fruitless fig tree is touching, the master was generous enough to respond to the plea and wait as requested by the vineyard guard. The fruitless fig tree in today's scripture personifies ourselves. We we have our current image because God had waited 3 years, one more year, and then another year. If God did not wait for us, we could not be standing here right now. Apostle Paul recorded the most books in the New Testament. Among them, the latest book he wrote was the first and second letter to Timothy, written in his late years. While this book was a letter written about church ministry from Apostle Paul, who was in his final years of life, to Timothy, a young pastor, it also includes confession of faith here and there. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, he says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Paul confessed that he himself used to be a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. The blasphemer is used to mean someone who insults other people. Jewish people such as the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and the priests yelled Jesus to be nailed to the cross because Jesus said that he is one with God. That was a blasphemous statement for Jewish people, insulting God. Blasphemy and blasphemer come from the same word. Thus, Apostle Paul referred to himself as the blasphemer to indicate that he had not merely prevented Christians, but also insulted God. A persecutor means a person who chases after a person who is running away and knocking down the person. So Apostle Paul was confessing that in the past he had chased down after people who were scared of him and ran away from him and exercised violence against them. Previously, Paul had received an official document from the high priest to chase down believers of Jesus, even in Damascus. And a violent man means proud person, one who abuses others, or a member of a gang who screams. To sum up, Paul confesses that he was the worst among sinners. He does not mean that he was the head of a gang. The Greek word for worst is protos, which means number one, the first. So when Jesus Christ came to save sinners and lined up people by how big their sin is, he would be the first one. So the worst among sinners indicates that he has the biggest and the most number of sins in the world. Paul explains how such a worthless person could become a loyal witness of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who believe, would believe in him and receive eternal life." The immense patience of Jesus Christ was the drive behind Saul becoming the Apostle Paul. The NIV Study Bible translates waiting for long as unlimited patience, while the NASB version translates it as perfect patience. So Apostle Paul is confessing that Jesus Christ was waiting until the moment he wrote that very letter and enabled him to grow in faith as well. This is not just the story of Apostle Paul. In the Bible, among people of faith, there was not a single person who did not receive the providence of God. God told Abraham in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, "I will surely bless you and give you many descendants." And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. When an expression is repeated in the Bible, it is done for emphasis. So God promised that he will surely bless Abraham, that surely give him many descendants. Abraham received that promise because he waited a long time. Is that true? Did Abraham really wait a long time? No, rather, God waited really long for Abraham. God called Abraham and promised with his word that Abraham will be a blessing, the source of blessing. It took about 40 years for Abraham to reach the level of faith offering Isaac, his only son. Until then, he had lied twice about his wife being his sister to save his life, and he had disappointed God by giving birth to Ishmael through Hagar. If God had not waited for a long time, he could not be a source of blessing and follower of faith. When David had made a mistake with Bathsheba, the David we know would not have been possible if God had said, "How could you betray my trust in you? I've been so kind to you with so many blessings." The disciples followed Jesus, the incarnate God, for 3 years, heard the living and eternal word of God, and witnessed many miracles. But the disciples ignored Jesus at the critical juncture. They promised to never betray him, but all of them ran away. Jesus still waited for these disciples and met them at places that they had returned to so they could become apostles. The Korean Mission Memorial Hall, which our church serves in addition to the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery, is located in Chuyetown, Cheon District, Yongin City of Gyeonggi Province. The next town is the Jaeil Town, where Jaeil Elementary School is located. The autumn sports day of the school was covered in the news in 2014. At that elementary school, there was a sixth grader named Ki-uk, who was suffering from a disease called achondroplasia, which is a disease that prevents his cartilage from growing. So he was smaller than his classmates. An adult who has this disease grows only up to 120 to 130 centimeters. So Kiyuk was also shorter than his friends. On the sports day, one of the most highlighted events is the running competition among six or seven people. Even when I was little, the first three students received a stamp on their wrists and later received one or two notebooks and two or three pencils. Kiyuk was smaller than his friends, so he had been the last one to come in during the past 5 years. So running was his least favorite, and on the morning of the sports day, he asked his family members whether he can be exempt from running. That same day, he was also running as the last person when four friends who were ahead of him stopped and held Kiyuk's hands to enter the finish line together as five. When you take a look at the picture of all of them, all five of them, holding hands as they run, your heart flutters. Just like how Kiyuk's friends held his hands, wouldn't our Lord hold our hands? Although we may think we are worthless, and when others do not wait for us, didn't God wait for us? Weren't we built together in the Lord until now because the Lord took our hands and waited for us? Now, it's time for us to respond. Wouldn't you want to live a life that produces amazing fruit by responding to the Lord who digs around us and fertilizes us today? Let's pray. We are grateful that the God we believe in is the same God who had blessed Abraham to be the forerunner of faith and the channel of blessing despite his indecisiveness and impatience, transformed David, who easily fell into temptation, to become a saint, and realigned Saul's focus from his honor and the law to a faithful apostle, and transforming the blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man into an apostle. When we look back upon our lives, we could not be standing here if God had not held our hand and waited for us. We sometimes refused to take God's hand, thinking that we can live better by ourselves, and lived a life turned away from God, irrelevant to God. Nevertheless, thank you for not giving up on us and continuing to build us. Even though the world may ignore us, tire us, and call us as useless beings, may we not forget that we are masterpieces built by God. Just as how a branch cannot produce fruit by itself, but can receive nutrients through a tree and produce fruit there, we also cannot produce any fruit by ourselves, like the useless fruit tree. But when we cling to the Lord, our tree of life, our lives can be filled with fruit of life and fruit of truth. Sometimes our lives may be miserable, seem meaningless, and fail to bear any fruit. But may we still look upon God and lead us, the God who leads us to build our lives beautifully through truth and life. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.